About some royal people for a moment. Markle debacle, the Oprah ordeal, Harry shifting overseas, dodgy old Andrew with his gross links to Jeffrey Epstein. But of course, that's not the whole story of the royal family, is it? You know, there's amazing charitable work around the globe making a real difference. There's the Queen's speech at Christmas spoke of beautiful things, like how healthcare workers and others have brought comfort to strangers. Like Jesus' story of the Good Samaritan. And how even on the darkest nights there is hope in the coming dawn. If the Queen or William and Kate visited Aotearoa, what sort of things would happen? This is where I'm... I'm going to need a runner. Who wants to... Oh, Ezra, I see that hand. What sort of things would happen? Just really quickly. Two or three things. What would happen? Here's one.
They should sit for 14 days in a hotel.
So they'd probably get a free hotel stay. Brilliant. Well, what would happen? What would he do? Go, Ezra.
They would have a state dinner.
Ooh, yes.
And we wouldn't be invited.
Yeah, true.
Crowds would gather.
Crowds would gather. Yeah. Anything else? One or two more? Go, Ezra. Good boy.
Prior to the visit, there would be lots of cleaning and painting.
Yeah. Yes. One down the back, Ezra.
Lots of people would offer them tea.
Yeah, that's. I mean, there'd be so many. Okay, last one. Here we go. Last one.
There would be protests.
Protests. Oh, as in that we, you know, don't want a monarchy sort of thing anymore? Oh, okay, yeah, probably would be. Thank you. You hold on to that. You could turn it off, and then you can... Yeah, thanks. You hold on to it. So, yeah, I mean, there'd probably be all sorts of security. There'd be, you know, hotels, fancy cars, restaurants, news, media going nuts. Back in Jesus' day, it was similar. When an important leader came to a city... They would ride on in to that city on a white horse. Probably a thoroughbred, because, you know, I'm all about horses. And, you know, that horse would be all dressed for war, ready for war. This showed the people of that city about, it showed them power and position and authority and wealth. And so as I read this story of what happened when Jesus came into a city, I want you to think about, what do you notice from this story? What is surprising? What is surprising to you about Jesus as king? Okay, then we're going to run the mic around again. So here we go, from Matthew chapter 21. When Jesus and his disciples came near Jerusalem, he went to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives and sent two of them on ahead. He told them, "Go into the next village, where you will at once find a donkey and her colt. Untie the two donkeys and bring them to me. If anyone asks you why you are doing that, just say, 'The Lord needs them.' Right away he will let you have the donkeys." So God's promise came true, just as the prophet had said. "Announce to the people of Jerusalem, 'Your king is coming to you. He is humble and rides on a donkey. He comes on the colt of a donkey.'" The disciples left and did what Jesus had told them to do. They brought the donkey and its colt and laid some clothes on their backs. Then Jesus got on. Many people spread clothes in the road, while others put down branches which they had cut from trees. Some people walked ahead of Jesus and others followed behind. And they were all shouting, "Hooray for the Son of David! God bless the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hooray to God for God in heaven above." When Jesus came to Jerusalem, Everyone in the city was excited and asked, "Who can this be?" The crowd answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." So, what did you notice about Jesus? What is surprising to you in that reading about Jesus as king? Any hands? Ezra, you ready to run? There's one behind you, two behind you. You turned it on, good boy.
Humble and riding on a donkey, yeah. Up on a white charger.
Yeah, it's a bit different, isn't it? Not a war horse, but on a donkey. Yeah.
Ian pinched mine, but another one, he was seen as a prophet, not a king.
Yeah. There was probably a bit of both going on there, prophet and king in there. But yeah, people recognised him initially as a prophet. Yeah. Anything else? What do you notice about Jesus?
That his reputation had gone before him because the disciples were able to go and flog someone's donkey and colt, and just saying the Lord needed it was enough for them to have it.
Yeah. Amazing, eh? Yeah, and yet there was some in the city that didn't know, so it was a real mixture, eh? There was some that, who is this? But others obviously really knew when they were shouting and partying, yeah.
He also didn't come from Jerusalem, which was the seat of the Jewish religion and the temple worship.
Yeah.
He was from Nazareth, and people hadn't really heard about him, and he was kind of a nobody from the back blocks.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, that's right. Didn't come from the places of power. So we see that there was Jesus, there was humility. That there was a serving, not forcing of his way. There was a peacemaking, you know, as opposed to, say, gossiping or demanding or letting injustice prevail. Want to grab a seat, Ezra? Thanks, mate. So the crowds called out, "Hooray for the Son of David! Hooray for God in heaven above!" Now, that word actually used for hooray was hosanna, which, you know, a lot of us would be familiar with, which was used as a shout of praise to God. So we're going to take a few moments to consider, what do we want to praise God for? It would be really neat to hear some things from people. And after we've shared, perhaps we could say Hosanna together. I mean, if we were from South Africa and spoke Zulu, maybe we'd say Amen Siaku Dumisa. Amen, we sing your praises. So, yeah. What do we want to give praise to God for? Has there been something in our week this week, or something in life in general, or something around the world, or something? What do we want to say praise to God for this morning? You ready, Ezra? Just take a moment.
I've had my cataract fixed.
Oh! Ready? We're going to say Hosanna. Hosanna! That's great.
So you may have seen a notice in one of the communications of God about my journal that's went missing. And I came to church this morning and here it was, and a little note on it saying, "No one at the Taranaki retreat recognizes this. Maybe it's one of yours from your congregation, addressed to Andrew." So this is really special because a friend gave it to me at the end of 2006. So it's got lots of thinking and praying and, you know, personal stuff. And I've had a bit of a journey of just trusting God that, okay, you know, maybe it'll bring good to someone, but maybe it'll come back. And it's come back. Hallelujah.
Oh, Hosanna.
We celebrated our 48th wedding anniversary on Wednesday. 2 years to go.
Hosanna! Hang on, wait, 2 years? We're not limiting things here, are we?
We had a new little granddaughter born in Canada on Tuesday. Wednesday. I get muddled up with the dates because they're a day behind. Wednesday. A little girl called Helen Phoebe Bartlett, and she was 10 pounds.
Oh, wow. Hosanna! That's great. A couple more? Okay. I'm sure there's lots of other things. It's good to be thinking about what we can be giving praise for. There's a real sweetness about life when things are going well, isn't there? When we can say, praise God, Hosanna, yay, just enjoying life, smiles, all that. Thanks, Ezra. You can grab a seat again. Turn it off, thanks. So this week I've really looked forward to, in terms of thinking, you know, positive things, good things, I've really looked forward to and enjoyed football practice. Catching up with some adventure racing friends after some of them did that epic God Zone race for like a whole week. Yeah. And I've had some really special little moments connecting with each of my kids and received encouragement from a couple of people that I really respect. So those have been really, really positive, good Hosanna-type moments for me. Life is sweet in moments like these, isn't it? Where it's easier to say Hosanna. And of course, life isn't all about sunrises and bike rides, is it? Or if you prefer, chocolates and movies, or football and burgers, or The Bachelor and tissues, or whatever it might be, you know, whatever your thing is. Often life, though, is plain hard, isn't it? And I've had moments this week where I've felt quite tired. I'm actually also overwhelmed, undermined, unloved, frustrated. We'll always have tough moments in life. But hard stuff isn't the whole story. And that's why it's important not to let the difficult times become everything, to take over our whole way of looking at life. It's really important to look for the good as well. And I love that God and Jesus and the Bible give attention to celebration and to sorrow, and how they're often around the corner from each other. Perhaps that adds to our thinking that Jesus is a surprising king. Because straight after he enters Jerusalem on a massive positive wave of popularity and affirmation, what does he do? He goes to the temple and he chases out everybody selling and buying and limiting access to God for the poor. Blind and lame people come to him and Jesus heals them. And then the religious leaders enter angrily. They start asking Jesus questions to test him, to see if what Jesus believed was as good as what they believed. And so Jesus enters into a series of conflicts. He despairs at the lack of faith in those who lead and influence the people. And he's hungry and grumpy. Add into this betrayal. The very same crowds who were shouting Hosanna, praise God for Jesus. The same people, a few days later, what were they shouting? Nail him to a cross. Nail him to a cross. Isn't it incredible how quickly we can change as people? How rapidly we flick between feeling praise and feeling pain? It's part of being human. And Jesus experienced it both within himself and from the crowds. So we won't pass the microphone around for this one, unless you know maybe really want to. But what are the hard things? We're going to just take a few moments just to, you know, be in quiet and consider, what are the hard things that you've been experiencing this week? So here's some space where you might like to talk with God inside your head. What are the hard things that's been going on for you this week? Have a chat with God.
Thank you.
So this week you may like to try holding both the hard bits and the Hosanna bits together. Maybe not let one dominate the other totally. Talk with God about them. And the newsletter that has just come out, and thank you, Maureen, for putting that together for us. There's a great little prayer adapted from the New Zealand Prayer Book. When the good times aren't so obvious, may we still know God walking beside us, even to the point of giving up our power. This is what the prayer says. We'll finish with this. Jesus, when you rode into Jerusalem, the people waved palms with shouts of acclamation. Grant that when the shouting dies, we may still walk beside you, even to a cross. When all we are and everything we do are called into question, God grant us dignity and direction. Grant us patience. Jesus, be there then. Amen.